On today's episode of Locked On Oilers, the Patrick Kane debate. Patrick Kane or defensive help? We'll talk about that. Plus, why are the Edmonton Oilers drafting in Russia? All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we're having the Patrick Kane debate again. But do the Edmonton Oilers need the defensive help, or are they willing or can they splash on Patrick Kane? We will have that debate in just a second. Plus, later on in today's episode, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a Low Tide article that he threw out in The Athletic about why the Edmonton Oilers are drafting in Russia. I will talk about that and kind of translate why the Edmonton Oilers and what I like about some of the picks the Edmonton Oilers have in Matvei Petrov, Maxim Berezhkin, and most recently, Nikita Yevseyev. All that coming up on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast, your team, every day. Alrighty, let's move into the Patrick Kane versus the defense debate. It seems like Patrick Kane obviously will be on the move at some point. I have been the guy, or a guy, who keeps saying that if it is going to be a move, why would you make a move like this at the trade deadline? Because there's too many moving pieces to talk about it in the middle of the season. Especially for a team like the Edmonton Oilers, who would probably need a team to take in some sort of cap space in a separate trade, this, that, or the other thing. It's not an in-season trade. Sorry. This isn't something you just get to plug into Chell and go, I got Patrick Kane on the trade deadline. It's not how this works. It's not. But we're not going to talk about Patrick Kane first. We're going to talk about the defensive help that the Edmonton Oilers supposedly need. Because the debate now that comes around with the whether or not the Edmonton Oilers need Patrick Kane or if they need defensive help has become very prominent once again. I'm here to tell you right now, if you genuinely think the Edmonton Oilers need more defensive help. Yes, they have lost Chris Russell and Duncan Keith, a combined age of, what, 68? Solid. Do you think the Edmonton Oilers need more defense and another defenseman? You haven't watched the Edmonton Oilers. You don't know what's going on within the Edmonton Oilers organization. Is there about 9 defensemen that could make the Edmonton Oilers next year? 9. And produce something special. I know a lot of people get caught up in the, oh, Darnell Nurse wasn't good in the playoffs. Yeah, no kidding. He had a torn hip flexor. Evan Bouchard wasn't fantastic either, and I'll give you that. He needs to be better defensively in the playoffs and in important games, but that was his first full year as a pro. Now it's time to get better, time to develop into a more well-rounded defenseman, and I'm going to give him that. He just spent an entire season with one of, if not the best defenseman of the last generation in Duncan Keith, so he learned quite a bit. Now it's time for him to show what he's learned. Then, instead of having Duncan Keith next to him, now he's going to have probably the Edmonton Oilers' best two-way defenseman in Brett Kulak, who a lot of teams around the league wanted because of just how good he is. A lot of Edmonton Oilers fans saw just how good Brett Kulak is and begged and pleaded for the Edmonton Oilers to re-sign Brett Kulak. And guess what happened? They did. If they didn't sign Brett Kulak, then yeah, I'm going there and going, yeah, you know what? Maybe they do need another defenseman. Duncan Keith retires. They lose Kulak. Obviously, Chris Russell isn't with the team right now anymore. Then I would have said, okay, there's trouble. But Brett Kulak resigns. I think Tyson Berry is going to stay now with Keith retiring. That's a little bit of a spoiler alert as to what the trade I think could be for Patrick Kane would be. But I think Tyson Berry stays an Edmonton Oiler. Then next to Tyson Berry is the Edmonton Oilers' eighth overall pick from, what, 2020? 2019 in Philip Broberg, who a lot of people, as I've mentioned over the last couple of days, have really said that he is going to be a fantastic NHLer. So where's the issue? Cody Ceci, who was the Edmonton Oilers' best shutdown defenseman down the stretch and in the playoffs? If you think Cody Ceci is the issue, I think you need the issue. Because there is obviously something going on that you see the Edmonton Oilers' defensive system going, oh, yeah, that's not good. I keep seeing the Hockey Writers, the website, the Hockey Writers, keep putting in all of their headlines that the Edmonton Oilers don't need Patrick Kane, they need defensive help. Clearly, the Hockey Writers don't take a look into the Edmonton Oilers organization. Because as I mentioned, up to 9 Edmonton Oilers defensemen can make the team next year. Confidently, I can say that. Maybe 8. Oh man, one off. Well, the first pairing is obviously going to be Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci. Second pairing, as mentioned, Kulak and Bouchard, which is going to be fantastic. Broberg and Barry on the third pairing. And then it depends what Jay Woodcroft wants to do. If he wants to run the 11-7, if he keeps the 12-6, that's a pretty solid 6 guys on the defense. But if he runs an 11-7, there is a brand or wide open discussion for that 7th spot. Marcus Niemelainen, who's 6'6", 190 pounds, got into 20-some games last year and punished players. Punished players. Vincent Desharnais, who is a guy that Jay Woodcroft and Dave Manson love. Can't stop talking about him. He stands 6'7", 230 pounds, and he has worked on his foot speed, is key in 5-on-5, and key in the penalty kill. Well, guess what the Edmonton Oilers need? A decent shutdown defensive penalty killer, and a decent shutdown defenseman in general on 5-on-5, or at 5-on-5. And this kid, 6'7", 230 pounds, and a kid who has worked his feet out. What do you want? What do you want? No, he's not going to be Darnell Nurse. No, he's not going to be Tyson Berry putting the puck in all the time. But guess what? The Edmonton Oilers have those two players. They have Evan Bouchard. They have Philip Broberg as well. What more do you want? Vincent Desharnais stands at 6'7", 230 pounds, as mentioned. And if he's coming in along with Marcus Niemelainen, or if they're changing each game, whatever it may be, that's scary. The Edmonton Oilers have a big, big back end, supplemented by guys like Evan Bouchard and Tyson Berry. Then you take a look at an offensive threat in Dmitry Samarukov, who very well could make the team, and a lot of people have been up in arms over the last few years when Samarukov didn't make the team. Now, all of a sudden, if Dmitry Samarukov is just lost in the sauce here, and people seem to forget about Dmitry Samarukov, and all of a sudden people go, oh, the Edmonton Oilers don't have defensive depth. Where have you been? Where have you been? You just forget about Dmitry Samarukov. You forget about all these guys that the coaching staff, that the organization have been talking about. But you think that you sit there and look at the team on Chell and go, yeah, no, this team needs a fix. Then on top of it, they have two other guys who stand over 6'3" in Bakersfield, who I have been a big fan of over the last few years, in Michael Kesselring and Philip Kemp. Philip Kemp is 6'3", 203 pounds. Okay, pretty big. And Michael Kesselring, 6'4", 190. Both can skate. Both can produce, well, Philip Kemp not so much offensively, but Kesselring offensively. Kemp is more of the shutdown guy. The Edmonton Oilers have guys who can do their job offensively and defensively and in the transition in the organization right there. Why splurge on a guy like Jacob Chychrun, ruin the defensive core that you already have just for a trade for Jacob Chychrun that might not even stay with your club? For 2 shots at the cup? Is Jacob Chychrun really the guy who's going to help you win a cup? Or is it the guy that's already won three of them, who consistently scores over at least 85 points a season, scored 88 last year on a freaking terrible Chicago Blackhawks club, and you go, no, I'd rather the guy who took 43 games off last year because he didn't get traded. Come on. The Edmonton Oilers' defense is fine, and they're going to be even better when Patrick Kane slots into that lineup. So we're going to talk about what happens with Patrick Kane, but if we're standing here and going, oh, the Edmonton Oilers need defense over Patrick Kane, you're lost. You haven't seen anything about the Edmonton Oilers at all. You just sit there, watch and play Chell and go, yeah, no, they don't have cap space, which we'll get into in the next segment with Patrick Kane, because honestly, I've seen way too many marks on the internet just absolutely lose their mind about, they don't have any salary cap, they don't have this and that and the other thing, as if they've never seen a trade in hockey before. But either way, we are going to get into that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and golf. You can get Mexican baseball in there. You can find all sorts of sports, genuinely all sorts of sports. I sometimes go on there and I'm just looking at some of the sports that you can throw some money on. And you're like, how? BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. I got heated. I won't lie, I got heated, and I'm going to get even more heated in this next segment, but I'm just so sick and tired of the people on the internet. I saw this guy, a Leafs fan, on the internet, and he's like, I told ya, Dubas is working his magic. And no, it's not Biz Nasty, it's this guy on TikTok, but he goes, the Leafs are gonna get Patrick Kane, blah, blah, blah. And then in the comments, I saw someone go, if he's going anywhere as a Canadian team or on a Canadian team, it's gonna be the Edmonton Oilers. And then someone commented and replied to that and goes, with what cap space, you casual? Are you kidding me? You're going to call somebody a casual for saying that he could probably be coming to Edmonton when you clearly have no idea what happens with salary cap? I've even seen people going, oh, the Edmonton Oilers are getting a benefit from the NHL because they love McWeiner so much, so they're getting an exemption on the cap space. Clearly, they don't know what LTIR is. So it's not going to be very often that I listen to some random person, user 6724364, telling me how the salary cap works, because clearly they don't know. Because in a Patrick Kane trade, if he were to go to a Toronto, to an Edmonton, to basically nearly anywhere, it's going to be a pretty extensive move that isn't only going to include two teams. For the Edmonton Oilers, they're going to have to try and swing a team like Arizona in, a team like Anaheim in, a team with a lot of cap space to come in, take a little bit of Patrick Kane's contract, then, when the Edmonton Oilers make a move, or whatever team make a move for Patrick Kane, or make that move for Patrick Kane, then the allotted salary that they already moved in the previous trade will then be even less. So then, basically, the Edmonton Oilers will be paying, what, 25% of Patrick Kane's contract? Because the first move is going to be Patrick Kane to another team for a pick for salary retention. Because that seems very baseline, that doesn't make sense. Patrick Kane for a pick, obviously not. But it's more the salary cap retention that the team is trading for. Well, they're probably going to get a pick as well. Then, whatever team acquires Patrick Kane will then have to trade him to the Edmonton Oilers at a retained salary as well. So say the Chicago Blackhawks retain 25% in the first deal. Then the say they trade him to the Arizona Coyotes. And then in the Arizona Coyote deal with the Edmonton Oilers, let's say the Arizona Coyotes take on 45, 50% of his contract, 30% of his contract. Well, then the Edmonton Oilers are basically just paying the rest. And that then is a salary cap that affects the salary cap that the Edmonton Oilers have. Very convoluted, I know. I very much know. But that is why this deal has to be made in the offseason. This isn't a mid-season deal. You don't have time to worry about your team that's playing right then and then also worry about making a trade with two other teams. This deal is happening this summer and it has to happen this summer. But, as I mentioned, let's just say Patrick Kane goes to wherever he may go. He goes to Arizona and then comes to Edmonton. Well, who are the Edmonton Oilers giving up? Because even if they do have to give up some salary somewhere, they're going to have to give up salary somewhere. So is it going to be Tyson Barrie, Warren Fogle, Jesse Puljujärvi? I'm going Warren Fogle. Warren Fogle will be the guy, the odd man out for the Edmonton Oilers, unfortunately, I think this year. The finishing wasn't there. They're paying him $2.75 million to basically be a fourth liner, maybe even a 13th forward, depending on the game. That's not fantastic. So the Edmonton Oilers can throw him into a deal to a team like Chicago who will need a guy like him, basically warm bodies. As I mentioned, FC Edmonton here in Edmonton are known as FC Opportunity. So Chicago Blackhawks can basically be known as the Chicago Opportunities or a guy like Warren Fogle. Then you toss in a first rounder, a third rounder, toss in a couple picks wherever you need be. I'm okay with tossing in whatever you need for Patrick Kane. And then you throw in a pretty good prospect. Now, we talked about the defensemen and the defensive prospects. You can throw in a Dmitry Samarukov or Raphael Lavoie. I would be very hard-pressed to throw in Xavier Bourgault, but you know what you're getting out of Patrick Kane, so maybe a Xavier Bourgault as well. It really depends on what Chicago wants, but either way, if you're getting Patrick Kane in return, you take it. Here's where my debate ends for anyone who goes, is it Patrick Kane or is it the defensive help? It's Patrick Kane, because if you get Patrick Kane, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, here's your lineup. Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, and Patrick Kane as a first line. Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl, and Kyler Yamamoto as a second line. Dylan Holloway, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Jesse Puljujärvi as a third line. And then a fourth line of Matthias Janmark, Ryan McLeod, and really Mansard player here. Or if the Edmonton Oilers go 11-7, that's your lineup. You're genuinely going to tell me that you would rather have Jacob Chychrun in your defensive core than have a forward group of that? That's where I start to question your hockey theory. Where you would rather have a defensive core of Darnell Nurse, Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak. Where would Chychrun even go? Because if you're bringing in Chychrun, you're not moving a defenseman unless you're moving Barrie. So then all of a sudden you move what? Who? Kulak to the third pairing with Broberg? Bouchard to the third pairing? What happens when you have 11-7? Who's not playing as many minutes? Because if you're playing 11-7, that means a guy like Philip Broberg, Tyson Barrie, Evan Bouchard, Brett Kulak, somebody is losing time. And those are players you can't afford to lose time for. Especially like a Philip Broberg, who can't afford to basically be the seventh defenseman again this season. He needs to have the playing time that Evan Bouchard had last year, or he's just not going to develop. If you're going to continually try to block the development of Philip Broberg, you're stupid. You're stupid. I'm sorry, but you're stupid. There's no other way to put it. Philip Broberg can be an elite, shutdown, two-way defenseman in this league, but if you're more willing to move for a guy with more question marks than a novel, then I don't know what sport you're watching, what game you're watching. Even if you're playing Chell, that doesn't make sense. The Edmonton Oilers can have a forward core of Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, Patrick Kane. That's a first line anywhere. Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl, and Kyler Yamamoto, which is basically a first line anywhere as well. So the Edmonton Oilers have a 1A and 1AA. Then they have a third line of Dylan Holloway, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Jesse Puljujärvi, which is a second line anywhere basically as well. And then a fourth line that includes one of their best two-way forwards in Ryan McLeod and one of their new signings who can also play pretty decently in his own end, who has made a career of doing so, in Matthias Janmark. So where's the issue with trading for Patrick Kane? I don't get it. I truly don't understand how this is even a debate. Because Patrick Kane is one of the greatest players of the last generation as well. Duncan Keith just came to Edmonton for the last season. I'm sure he has been in Patrick Kane's ear talking about the family atmosphere and how well and how good this organization is. And if you succeed in Edmonton, you're going to be loved. And it's pretty tough not to succeed with the team the Edmonton Oilers already have. Imagine if they have Patrick Kane, they're going to succeed, and they're going to succeed very, very much. So if you're sitting there and going, oh, Patrick Kane or the defense, I'm going defense, I don't trust you. I am sorry, I don't trust you. I don't know what goes on, what makes you think hockey needed that, but yeah. And you know what? That's the other thing is if he doesn't get moved to Edmonton, where does he go? Probably Toronto. So if you're an Oilers fan going, no, I don't want Patrick Kane, I need defense. Oh no, he's in Toronto. That's your fault. that's just your fault. I sometimes it makes me laugh at just how little people think forward ahead or anything like that. And it's so often the most vocal people on the internet who think they know the most, which I know those people right now are laughing at me going, you're literally doing the same thing. Yeah, well, it is what it is. Anyways, let's move on to not so much a debate anymore. Why the Edmonton Oilers are sliding into Russia for a couple of prospects. As we've seen, the Edmonton Oilers have a very good prospect in Matvei Petrov, but they got him in the sixth round. But he went first in the CHL import draft. Maxim Berezhkin, who I didn't know a lot about, but has been put in a lot of prospect lists as well, top prospect lists. And now the Edmonton Oilers also picked Nikita Yevseyev in this past year. So why? We will talk about that in just a second. But first, I just want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL. Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world with Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. At which I'm also going to be on today. Me and Jess, the Locked On Flames host, do Wednesdays every Wednesday. So make sure you tune in. We are doing our Central Division biggest questions on Wednesday. Well, today's episode. So make sure you tune into that later today as well. Alrighty. Let's move into the Russian Oilers, as there was a very interesting article, I guess, is the proper word to use, written by Low Tide, if you know Low Tide, written on why the Edmonton Oilers have been scouting in Russia and why they selected Nikita Yevseyev in the 2022 NHL draft. So if you have time, if you have an Athletic article or a subscription, make sure you read more into that. But it gave me an interesting idea or something to talk about, because I have been a big fan of Matvei Petrov since the Edmonton Oilers drafted him. In our prospect list, Maxim Berezhkin was an honorable mention because I've seen him in some top 10 Oilers prospects list, but I don't know too much about him. And then the Edmonton Oilers select Nikita Yevseyev in this past draft. And there's even more question marks on why they would select somebody like that. Who is he, really? Who are these Russian players? Why did the Edmonton Oilers get Matvei Petrov in the sixth round? Well, all three of these players, Nikita Yevseyev, Matvei Petrov, and Maxim Berezhkin, have all played in the MHL, which is basically the Russian equivalent of the CHL. And as Low Tide points out, the most recognizable or the most favorite alumnus of the MHL is consistently brought up, and that is Nikita Kucherov. Let me know if you've ever heard of him. And so Low Tide was able to bring together some comparisons of Petrov, of Yevseyev, and of Berezhkin as well, and really got into why the Edmonton Oilers are taking a look at Russia. Because let's be real, if you've been an Oilers fan for a couple of years, not even in the history of the Edmonton Oilers, for a couple of years, Edmonton just isn't a hotbed for Russian prospects. Take a look at Nail Yakupov. I'm sorry, I loved Yakupov. Look at Bogdan Yakimov. Remember Bogdan Yakimov? Anton Slepyshev, Anton Belov came over for a little bit as well. Ilya Konovalov most recently. The Edmonton Oilers do have Dmitry Samarukov in their organization as well. So maybe the tides are turning a little bit, but we just saw Konovalov leave as well. But you hear Matvei Petrov talk, and he's been very vocal on making sure that playing in Canada is his priority. The Edmonton Oilers got him in the sixth round because people were unsure about Russian prospects and unsure about how Matvei Petrov and where Matvei Petrov's priorities laid or lied. Well, his priorities laid or lied with playing in Canada, and that's why the following CHL import draft after the NHL draft, Petrov was selected first overall by the North Bay Battalion. And since then, 40 goals, 50 assists, 90 points in the last year. And he even says he wants to be even better. A lot of people knock his skating. I don't hate his skating, but if he can get his skating even more refined and even better, fine, sure. That is a fantastic prospect who kind of reminds me a little bit of Pavel Datsyuk. Bring on the hate. I hear it already. But I know a lot of people go, oh, he's helping Yakupov light. He went to play in the OHL, so it has to be the same thing. Not at all. Nail Yakupov went to a Sarnia Sting team that had zero, and I mean zero, game plan. Look at Alex Galchenyuk as well. He went over there with Nail Yakupov in Sarnia. Fantastic seasons, went 1-3 in their draft, and then they come into the NHL, and then all of a sudden they have to start playing in systems. And they haven't played in a system before. North Bay has. North Bay is a very solid program who has very solid coaching all over the place. Now, of course, I mentioned Nikita Yevseyev, who the Edmonton Oilers selected, I believe, in the sixth round of this year's draft. And the comparable that Low Tide gave, beginning with the stats and basically the advanced stats from Russia to the NHL, kind of. And one interesting comparable came up for Nikita Yevseyev. This guy was just traded at the draft and was a top prospect for a long time. Alexander Romanov, who was just traded to the New York Islanders in that crazy draft, which eventually landed. Who did they get in that deal? They ended up getting Kirby Dach. Kirby Dach was sent off in that. It was the deal prior to make room for Kirby Dach. That was the wild time where Bettman came up and said, we have a couple trades to announce. Romanov traded to the Islanders. Oh, Kirby Dach to the Habs. Yeah, it was fun. That was great draft. Anyways, but that was who Low Tide compared Nikita Yevseyev to. Now, obviously, it's not a direct comparable, as if you are familiar with comparables, they're not always direct, they're just more similarities, more alike. But what is interesting, and I mentioned this during our draft special with why the Edmonton Oilers drafted Nikita Yevseyev, and this is from Tyler Wright, who is the Edmonton Oilers head of amateur scouting, and he said, this is the one guy that Alex, who is the Russian scout over there, really wanted to draft. He is bigger than listed and is a big competitive guy. A lot of people, they have mentioned that Yevseyev can skate. He is not a fantastic puck mover, but he can if needed to. But he's more of a shutdown guy defensively than anything. Well, who does that sound like? Luka Munzenberger, maybe? Who just had a fantastic, fantastic World Juniors. Who just bummed off the hockey writers who said the Oilers need defense and not offense, or Patrick Kane, really. They said that Luka Munzenberger really opened eyes there. Weird. The Edmonton Oilers have a great scouting department right now, and they're taking a look at very interesting guys like Petrov, like Yevseyev, like Berezhkin, who is, they have said, is a good shooter, can get better with his skating, but that comes with coaching, that comes with a different mentality, but he does have that basically power forward type of feel to him. If he can start to figure it out, Petrov, Berezhkin, and Yevseyev can be very interesting picks in the future for the Edmonton Oilers. And as Low Tide said, even if one of those guys pan out, then that bet that you made between these three Russians is pretty successful. But it's a matter of if. Not when, but if. Petrov next year, next season for him is very big for his development. He will have, I believe, one more year of eligibility in Major Junior after that. So it'll be interesting to see then. Berezhkin, I'll be interested to see in the future. He probably won't be at camp this year, but maybe next year as well. And the same with Yevseyev. Guys that the Edmonton Oilers are... within the organization, people within the Oilers organization are excited for and are interested to see how they develop. So that is a little bit of, not necessarily a synopsis, but more of a discussion around Low Tide's article on The Athletic. Why did Oilers select, I think it should be the Oilers, why did the Oilers select Nikita Yevseyev at the 2022 NHL draft? So if you do have an Athletic subscription, make sure you do read a little bit more on that and make your own opinions on that. If you don't, make sure you get one. I'm not endorsing them or anything like that, but I love The Athletic. It's fun. Either way, we shall call it there. Thank you so much for listening to me ramble today on why the Edmonton Oilers need Patrick Kane more than Jacob Chychrun or defensive help in general, and why the Edmonton Oilers are scouting in Russia as well. No episode tomorrow, but there will be one on Friday. Once again, we are still down to the 3 episodes a week. So I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday, a wonderful Thursday. We shall see you on Friday. Stay safe and play La Bamba, baby.